Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Lynn Andrews, who will be playing...
Hey,
how are you? She'll be playing Miss Hannigan, great legendary role, in the production of Annie, the national tour that's coming through National Theater here in Washington, D.C., from March 15th through the 20th. Lynn, thanks so much for taking time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's awesome. Before we go into it, you're gonna geek out on this. But a couple of weeks ago, I talked to Carol Burnett on the phone about this.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
No, you didn't.
Yes, ma'am.
No, you didn't. Oh my God, what did she? Wait.
She talked about the role. Well, it was actually most of the talk about she was doing a guest appearance on Hawaii Five-0. But you know, while I had her on there, we went through a lot of her work, from her TV show to Annie and all that stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know I talked to the actual movie version of her before. Now I'm talking to the stage version.
Oh my goodness! that is awesome.
So let's start while I'm on that train of thought. Let's start there then. So like, when did you actually see her in that role, or when did you discover Annie as a kid?
It's funny. I feel like Annie wasn't something that was created or filmed or even written. I feel like it was always just existed.
It was out there in the universe.
Yeah, it was. It was just, you know, it was just always around. And it was so strange. Like when, you know, got older and it was like you start learning about musical theater, and I learned when it was written in the '70s, and I was like, wait, is that from the '30s? Like what? It's not, that movie isn't. Wait, I don't understand. So that was one of those funny things. But we always had the VHS at my house. Mm-hmm. But I think we stole it from TV because I think the ending was gone. Like, so I didn't see the ending. So I was an adult.
I got you. So you never knew how it ended.
No, those good old VHS bootlegs.
Gotta love them. You have to hit the tracking button and all that stuff. Awesome. Well, there won't be any tracking buttons or VHS problems at the show. The show itself will be live and happening in real time, so that's cool. Tell me, where are we on the tour here? Where's DC? How many cities have you hit already?
I don't even know how to answer that question. We've been on the road since fall of 2014.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, and it's really awesome. I mean, we get breaks and everything, but it's a lot of Annie and a lot of cities. And I woke up today and I was like, where am I in the world, I wonder?
Where in the world is Miss Hannigan?
Where in the world is it? Currently in Elmira, New York, but...
Gotcha. Well, we're excited to have you guys come down here. What's it been like playing Miss Hannigan? I mean, obviously, you were familiar with the role from watching as a kid and throughout your life and everything, but what's it been like embodying her? What's the key to playing her?
You know, the key for me was not doing that VHS bootleg impression of Carol Burnett.
Right.
Because it's, you know, she's her kind of funny, you know, she does stuff that is funny to her and then it's funny to us. So you kind of got to approach it the same way. Like, you know, I have a different voice type, a different body type. So I got to do stuff that makes me giggle in my own skin. And it ends up being pretty different, from what I understand. I've never really been able to see myself. But I think that mostly the one of the best compliments I get was that people forget what the role was like before, because it's so different.
Right. Well, you got to make it your own. So, and I'm sure since you've been doing it since 2014, so I'm sure you got it pretty damn pat.
I'm pretty sure I know the line. Now, man.
Exactly. What is that line again? No. Tell me, I mean, but why is it such a juicy role to play? I mean, because she's, you know, sassy, but strict on the kids, but also has that comedic side. And it's an interesting little juicy role where you're sort of an antagonist for a bit, but you're also like a lovable, funny character, too. So, you know, explain that.
Yeah, you know, she's the villain and the comic relief.
Yeah.
Which is a great combination of things. She's kind of the Captain Hook to all the Lost Boys. But it's, I think the only reason that I'm able to do it for this long, you know, if I were playing, you know, Spearholder number 34B, you know, in the background of some other play, I might not be able to make it this long. But there's a lot of material to work with. You know, there's a couple of really great numbers, Little Girls and Easy Street. Mm-hmm. And our director, Martin Sharnan, who actually wrote the lyrics and directed the original production, is not super keen on micromanaging anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if you feel inspired one night to do something, you should do it. You know, he doesn't want... you know, if you come see the show seven nights in a row, you're seeing the same-ish show. You know, the plot still happens, but it's not exactly the same, which I appreciate. So there's a lot of room to play around, and that's awesome.
Well, I, you know, we'll have to do another interview another time when you do play Spearholder 34B. Like, I really think that would be really interesting. but in all seriousness, you mentioned Little Girls, legendary number. Is that your favorite number in the show? Or, I mean, it's one that you get to do. Obviously, you're not there for, what, Hard Knock Life and Tomorrow and stuff. But, you know, take us into some of the musical numbers and how audience have been reacting to those.
Well, it's funny because whenever you start thinking of Annie, the first thing I think people think of is Tomorrow.
Right.
Because so many people have sung it.
Yeah.
People have heard it 1,000 times. And then they're like, oh, wait, yeah, there was that really awesome Jay-Z Hard Knock Life that happened. That was rad. And Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile is also one of the coolest songs. Oh, and that song maybe is so pretty. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the sign of a good musical, that you remember the songs but also like all of them.
Right, it's true.
And there aren't a whole lot of forgettable numbers, and that's probably what makes a hit. That, and also, you know, Kids and Dogs.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can't go wrong with, what is it, Sandy and Annie. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
We're actually, I think we're going to do it as a separate feature piece, but we're actually, on Monday, I'm going and talking to the dog trainer that trained Sandy.
Bill Berlone?
Yeah, because he's also doing, he also trained, I guess, Toto for, there's a Wizard of Oz production coming too, so I'm going to do a separate piece on sort of that whole thing, but...
You tell Bill Berlone, you give him a piece of my mind, you tell Bill Berlone that my ring size is 8.5, and I like an emerald cut diamond.
Whoa.
You'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
All right. Look at you, 8.5. Miss Fellini over here. Oh, that's hilarious.
I love that guy.
That's great. All right, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to doing that as a separate piece. But this one will be just on Annie itself. Talk about, what about sort of like the sets and everything? Because Hard Knock Life, there's lots of possibilities to be stomping mops and all that kind of stuff. How does that one play out?
Well, so the sets were designed by Beowulf Morris. There's a lot of great names in this production.
Yeah, I can see.
And it's, you know, Hard Knock Life is the original choreography from the 70s. So there's not all, like, what's great about this production is no one's trying to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
It's the choreographer is Liz Gennaro, Peter Gennaro's daughter, who did the original. And it's like the exact movements, exactly what you need for each word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not someone trying to impress you with superfluous stuff. It's the perfect movement for exactly when you need it. I mean, it's great. But Hard Knock Life is one of those, like, it's buckets and mops and rags and sheets and kids stomping around all over bunk beds. You know, it's ferocious. And
are we
going to
get, if you sit in the front row, are we going to get splashed or anything with suds, or are we going to be all right?
You know, maybe we can make that all right. If you get a front row seat, I will for sure splash you with some gin or whichever cocktail I'm drinking.
That was both
that particular.
That was both funny and evil. You're just like Miss Hannigan, so thanks.
You know what, man? I feel like she's going to seep into me.
Yeah,
a little bit.
You're going to be one and the same after a while, I'm sure. Do you ever see you know, audiences singing along? Either the kids singing with you out in the audience, or their parents that, you know, grew up watching it themselves.
You know, it's hard to hear the audience aside from when you're, like, holding for a laugh desperately.
Right.
But when my friends come to see it, they're always like, I've never been to a show where it was okay that people were singing. You know, because normally you're like, you need to shut up. I am watching. But like, yeah.
Respect
you know, when
the
you're
theater.
Going to Annie and there's a, when there's like a 7-year-old kid who's cute as hell, you're, right. What are you going to do? Let the kids sing tomorrow.
Yeah. Speaking of the kids that are cute as hell, tell me about Annie, the title role. It's Heidi Gray, 11-year-old from Augusta, Georgia. What's it been like working with her?
Heidi Gray is a cutthroat. Don't you dare trust her. No.
She'll probably say the same thing about you.
No, she'll be like, I love Lynn. That's what she'll be like, because she's a nice person. It's driving me crazy. Heidi is really nice and really talented, and I hate her so much for this. She's so sweet to everyone. She's like, the other day she came running up to me, and she's like, oh my God, Lynn, I'm so happy. And I was like, what? Like, what's going on? She's like, nothing. I'm just happy. And I was like, what? That's crazy. What are you talking about? But she's got a killer voice. Her acting chops, when you're 11 years old, it's all instinct. You know, like, yeah. She's not reading an actor prepares or anything. It's just, she's naturally funny and she's got a terrific voice and the kid can really, really dance.
Can she belt? She belted on tomorrow. Like, are we going to be hearing it from the rafters?
Oh yes. You can't be Annie unless you're, you know, going to fill the room. And she, you know, and she's like actually got little freckles, and it's so funny. She's not a natural redhead. They like cut and dyed her hair, but she like looks like a natural redhead. And then I meet her dad, and he's a redhead.
Interesting.
Like, oh, I see how this works.
Yeah, like it's in there somewhere, just waiting to come
up
out.
In there.
Okay. Wait, you said something interesting a little bit ago that I didn't even know. You said the choreographer for your show is the daughter of the original one?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that, make that connection.
Well, I don't know when she kind of took over the reins. I did a tour, an Annie tour, back in 2007. And she was a choreographer for that, but the team's the team. They don't really let, you know, every time all of the original creators or someone that they've like blessed has been involved with this production. You know, Thomas Meehan and Charles Strauss and Martin Chardon, the three creators, were all there during tech. They all saw it. They all had something to say. They all had input. I think they felt like this was still theirs. And, you know, Liza obviously grew up with Annie.
Right.
And so she,
by the way, if you're a daughter of someone famous, you have to be Liza. I mean, you just, that's your name.
You know what, man? That's totally true. I got to get famous. I got to have a kid. Yeah,
and
name
her Liza.
No, I'll have the kid named Liza first. And then that will make it so I'm famous.
True.
You follow me?
No, I got you. Leaping lizards, man.
Perfect. Leaping lizard.
It's so awesome. Well, wait a minute. So we've heard talked a lot about the show, but tell me a little about yourself. Were you like Heidi Gray when you were growing up, or how did you get into
acting? No.
Where'd you grow up? Oh, all that. So I want to know the backstory.
The backstory.
Yeah.
I was going to come up with some ridiculous lie, but I can't be bothered. No, the truth is I was a late bloomer. I mean, these kids have been acting and singing and dancing since they could walk. I didn't start doing theater or music till I got to high school. Like, I took piano lessons as a kid, but it didn't really dawn on me that this is something I wanted to do till I was 15, 16 years old.
Right.
But these girls are so quick. I mean, they walk in day one, scripts memorized, you know, they take direction like grown adults. When I was 11, I would have been like, weird. I don't understand anything. I'm scared. Where is mom?
Well, you're still like that, kind of, but.
Oh, well, I mean, they're not. They're so like, they're so at ease in this environment. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I just got to that point where I'm like, okay, well, you know, walking in the room being like, all right, what are we doing? The kids are like, you know, sitting outside smoking cigarettes, you know, playing poker. Totally chill.
Do you remember,
that is not true.
Do you remember your first show?
Yeah, the first show I did was high school, and it was Crazy for You.
Oh, okay.
And I did not have a spear, but I was in the back. It was awesome. It was so much fun. But yeah, I grew up in Denver, Colorado.
Nice. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And when I was 18, I moved to New York and went to AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy.
Okay.
And that's pretty, you know, very intense but short program. So I started working in 2006, and, you know, there's been some Annies in there between now and then, I think culminating in the Annie.
The Annie. That's the one we're going to see.
The Annie.
Okay, okay. Well, why, you know, what's the final pitch then? What, you know, if before we let you run, because I know you're a busy woman, what's the final sell? If someone's listening to this, maybe they've seen Annie, maybe they saw it on Broadway years ago, maybe they've seen the movie and they're like, do I really want to come see it again? Yes. Why?
A few things. It's because, one, nostalgia. If you've seen it, you're going to love it again, because it's lovable. But the other thing is, if you have kids, or if you have a niece or a nephew, or, you know, anybody like that, this is the show to bring them to, because the plot is, it's a love story, but not a love story between, you know, a grown man and a grown woman, and it's romantic love. This is a love story about a child and her parents. So if you've got a niece or a nephew or your kids, they understand that kind of love completely. So they're going to completely comprehend the plot, as opposed to seeing another show that they may not get. And, you know, it's about connecting, you know, a father and a daughter, and then a girl and her dog. And that's something that the adults are going to get. That's something that the kids entirely get. And, you know, when you share that with someone that you love, you know, it's a really special moment, particularly with live theater, as opposed to watching a movie, because that's a moment that me, you, and your kid are going to share together that will never happen again.
Well, there you go. That's more than enough reason right there. Man, that was profound. That who knew Annie was fun, but also profound. There you go. That was a fantastic sell job. That's that's like a money bite I'm going to use. That's awesome. Thanks.
Love it.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll let you run, but Lynn, this was awesome. Thank you so much for coming.
And thank you.
Just to remind everybody, it's March 15th through 20th at National Theater. Annie, you've seen it once, but you've never seen it like this. Come see it again. Lynn, thanks so much.
Yeah, man. Thank you.